Hello, everybody out there in internet radio land. This is Blake Ruby from San Antonio. Welcome to my show, Spirits of the Universe, as we are spirits living in the material world, and our world is in the material universe. And what are we doing here on Earth? We're developing ourselves spiritually. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Yes. Not everyone's doing that, though. It's hard to keep it up day after day. Even think about God requires an extra effort, but really, if it hadn't been for the supreme creator of the universe, we wouldn't be here today, would we? We wouldn't be in existence. And we are all the children of God, the supreme creator. Children, aren't we sons and daughters of the Most High Creator of the universe? But in accordance with the supreme creator's plans, there are mother gods and father gods too, of solar systems. That's the plan. Have you ever thought going to heaven one day and you get there and they would say, come on, let's go see the father god. Well, where's the mother god? Are we going to be motherless god and children, my friends? Motherless children in heaven, I mean, excuse me. Are we going to be motherless children in heaven? So if you're a son of God, and I say, when I say God, I either mean the supreme creator or mother and father God of the sun, heaven, of our solar system, the matrix of our solar system where they reside, that world on fire, the world of light where the spirit can live in the fire, in the light. If you're a son or a daughter, then you have to have both the mother and father. You can't be a son with just a father. You can't be a daughter with just a father. You have to have a mother too. Just the words themselves, son and daughter, in and of themselves, inherent, is the understanding that you have to have a mother and a father to be a son and a daughter. Right? And like I said, I know when I get to heaven one day, I'm not going to look around and realize, hey, there is no mother in heaven, no mother God. Father God, you know, when he made everything that he made, he needed a companion. Besides, what man would not want a woman by his side? Well, there's my introduction for you. Welcome to the show. I got lots of things to talk about, and time is going to fly, or seem to, very quickly. It's hot here in San Antonio. I was just talking to Doug, telling him that it's been up around 100 degrees every day of this week. And today is no exception. It's about 100 right now. But that's okay. I like it. You know, I'm not going to complain about the weather. If you complain about the weather, well, then you should go to one of these locations where it's temperate all year round, like San Diego or Guadalajara, Mexico, Caracas, Venezuela. There's a city in South Africa, too, that has one of the most temperate climates of the world. I'm talking about not too hot, not too cold. You know, get up to about 80-something in the daytime, down to about 70 at night. So if you don't want to move to that kind of location, then you shouldn't complain about the weather, right? But I don't want to offend you. So anyway, I've written some things down here to talk about. First of all, let me talk a little bit about Jacob Blake, what's going on. You would think after what happened to George Floyd, that the police would have known better, you know. And you would have thought they would have done some training to have avoided everything that they'd gone through after George Floyd. But no, apparently not. I think it's time. I don't suggest defunding the police, but instead retraining. That's what I say. Retraining. Comprehensive training program that lasts maybe a month for officers to know how to handle situations, because I know it's not easy. And really, most police are decent, hardworking American citizens. And they deserve our respect because it's not an easy job. It's very difficult to handle everything that they have to handle on a daily basis. I actually rode with a policeman one time in exchange for tutoring his son in Spanish. That was in Alexandria, Virginia. And you get to see the lowest part of life, the degenerates out there, people who are drug addicts, alcohol abusers, the poor people, people starting trouble, start fights, car accidents. You get to see people that are either severely injured or killed in car accidents. So suffice it to say, they deserve our respect and admiration, but you've heard it all before. There are a few bad apples in the bunch, and that's even understandable. You know, you can get PTSD and anxiety would be pretty common among police, don't you think? Let's say you yourself, imagine you just become part of the police force. You get in your car, going down the freeway, and you come upon horrific accident where a couple of cars made contact, maybe hit each other head on, flipped several times end over end. There's bodies lying on the pavement, bleeding, some dead. How would you feel? Could you handle that? The police have to handle that. Or maybe you get called to, you're a policeman now, you get called to a domestic disturbance. You go inside a house, knock on the house, right? There's a guy in there with a gun. He's already shot some people. How do you handle that? Well, you got to worry about whether he's black or white, but it's not easy. It's almost like I've seen a lot of policemen. I know you have too. They're all fine, outstanding individuals, excellent leaders. They know how to handle situations. They know how to handle fights. They know how to handle death. So let's not get too hard on their cases. Yes, they need some training, reinforcing. What happened to Jacob Blake and George Floyd should never happen again. Because it does appear, and I know I've seen it in some of the movies, and I know the way things were way back then. The Civil War, you would have thought that the Civil War, you have winners and losers, right? Assumably, yes, the North won the Civil War. But even after 100 years, you had the Civil Rights riots. And that was back in the 60s. That was years ago, and still you have that discrimination on people's minds. Maybe it's built into their cellular makeup, you know, because their ancestors, their grandfathers, and their grandfathers' grandfathers lived back in those times, and they were slave owners, perhaps plantation owners of that frame of mind, you know, were. They didn't have a whole lot of money, so human trafficking was pretty common throughout the world, not only in the United States. And so it was just money back then. You owned people. You paid for them. was one of the bad things of money, you know, the root of all evil. You buy people with money. Not good. But talking about discrimination, I think we have another form of discrimination in America besides racial and sexual discrimination. We also have international discrimination. We discriminate against the Russians. We discriminate against the Chinese. And that's not right. So I watched the Republican National Convention, and forgive me for my last show for using the word campaign instead of convention. I listened to myself afterwards, and did I say campaign instead of convention? Because I was talking about a Democratic convention. I saw that. Saw a lot of, most of the Republican National Convention last week, and so I've heard both sides, heard what they had to say. I thought the Republican National Convention was done a little bit better than the Democrats did. They probably poured more money into it. I know Mr. Trump was adamant to do a good job, make a good impression with American people. But I see faults on both sides, of both parties. One main thing, my friends, is this. If you don't have something good to say about somebody, don't say anything at all. Or if you're going to criticize somebody, whoever it is, at least say one good thing about them, you know. Well, they're alive. Yeah, that's a good thing. Well, they did this. Take Joe Biden, for example. Now, here's a man who lost his wife and son, or was it daughter, in a car accident. And then he lost his son, Beau. Now, how do you think someone like that would feel? And why would somebody want to cut someone down like that? I mean, I understand politics is a game, it's competition, but still, it's not right to treat your fellow human being that way. Say that Mr. Trump's done more in almost 4 years than Joe Biden's done in 47 years of public service? Come on. And I know that a lot of those people that got up there in front of the television, you know, and it was all taped, I think, except for Mr. Trump's. Well, there were some speeches like Mr. Pence's, Mr. Trump's at the end that weren't taped, I think. I'm not sure, but most of the other ones were taped, just like with the Democrats. And so they're excellent public speakers, no doubt. They didn't want someone who was shy and stuttering, you know. So they picked the best of them for their public speaking skills and as well as they spoke. Still, again, didn't your mother ever tell you if you don't have something nice to say about somebody, don't say anything at all? In America, we want what's right. We want to do the right thing. Not only do we live for freedom, but we live for truth. And I would think that here in America, we would want God to continue to bless America. God has blessed America. Very few people would deny that in the beginning. You know, with the founding fathers, God was all over the situation back then. And they included God in the Constitution and Declaration of Independence. They're very God-fearing people, and we need to be too. If God, I mean Father God, Mother God, or you can call both of them God, because when they merge their spirits and they create, whether it's a new soul and spirit or planets, heavenly bodies, in other words, they are one. But they are, in fact, children of the Supreme Creator. Grandchildren, if you will. The Supreme Creator created the universe with the Big Bang. And the solar system, excuse me, the universe began forming itself solar system after solar system. And here we are in our Milky Way galaxy. We because when a galaxy fills up with solar systems, guess what? A new one begins to form. And we're in a spiral arm on the outer edges of the Milky Way galaxy. And there's a lot of solar systems out there, my friend. Oh, my God. I remember Carl Sagan one time said that there were so many stars out there that not every grain of sand on every beach on Earth would compare to the amount or equal the amount, in other words. And I disagree with that. I don't think there's that many. Every beach on Earth, every grain of sand, nah. People have a tendency to exaggerate, but suffice it to say, maybe a 10 by 10 patch of sand on a beach, maybe about 4 feet deep, that many grains of sand, or in other words, stars out there in our galaxy and other galaxies around the universe. That's what I would say. Yes, God has blessed America, and we want God to continue to bless America. One way, as I mentioned, is to stop discriminating against our fellow human beings, whether they're Russians or Chinese. We need to become friends with them. Bury the hatchet. That's what Mr. Trump's been trying to do. I'm not totally supportive of everything he does and says, but I'm a uniter, not a divider. I look at the good and the bad with every side. Now, you might be a mother and father out there. I'm going to give you a hypothetical situation. Pretend, if you will, that you have two sons, and they're both really great football players, and they're on different teams in the NFL. They're superstars. You love them very much. You see their games. So comes to pass that at the end of the year, there's a Super Bowl, right? And wouldn't you know it, three teams your sons are on, are playing in the Super Bowl on opposite sides. Now, you love your sons equally. You love them both very much. Which side are you going to support? Let's say John is on side on the maybe the New England Patriots, and Frank is on the LA Rams. So which side would you pick? On the Patriots or the Rams? One of your sons is on each of those teams. Who are you going to hope to win? That's a hypothetical situation. I'm just giving you an example. We got to find the good on both sides to be a uniter instead of a divider. A lot of the rhetoric that I saw in both of the conventions was divisive. You can't blame the other side for being divisive when you're doing that yourself. So it's going to be very interesting from now until Election Day. I mentioned this on previous shows. I'm not even sure if I'm going to vote for Mr. Trump. I like him. And I like Mr. Biden, too. Kind of like the sons theory. I don't want to vote for one and then have the other one lose. I want both of them to win. That's the way it should be for America, because we the people, as it says in the Constitution, are what the politicians should be striving to take care of, the welfare of the people. The bitter, divisive, competitive politics is not what God has in mind, I think. And if we want God to continue blessing America, then we need to be uniters instead of dividers. And one thing, as I mentioned, just as a challenge to you out there, please help me pass it along. If you don't have something nice to say about somebody, don't say anything at all. But if you do have some kind of criticism, constructive criticism, also put in something good. Say, for example, Mr. Biden, well, I don't believe in abortion. I'm a right-to-life person. But I like how Mr. Biden smiles. I like his smile. I think he's a good leader. And I like Kamala Harris. I think she's beautiful. I can look in someone's eyes and I can see what kind of person they are. And with Mr. Trump, I might say, well, I don't like his tweeting. And I think he ought to change his stand on climate change, but he makes me laugh. I think he's a great guy. He has a wonderful sense of humor. So please keep that the two suns theory in mind. Imagine if Joe Biden, a hypothetical situation, not for real, Joe Biden and Donald Trump are brothers. Who would you vote for if you were the father and the mother of both? Well, that would be a difficult decision, wouldn't it? You have the Democrats, and the Republicans say they're leaning towards socialist values. Well, Bernie Sanders, maybe. Joe Biden, not so much. Well, Mr. Trump built up the economy before COVID hit. Could he do it again? Probably. But the situation right now is not so good. A lot of people are still unemployed. We've been spending money for the unemployment, the stimulus package. You know, I'm sure they just didn't print money, take care of that. We need to be very concerned. Whoever gets the opportunity to revitalize the economy, to restore it. I think it's always been good in America. It'd be at its best during Clinton's presidency, Bill Clinton's presidency. Part of that because Ronald Reagan, before him, did a great job as president, did all the right things. America had a surplus at one time during Bill Clinton's presidency. And then, well, even the greatest people can fall from grace. Bill Clinton was one of the smoothest talkers I've ever seen. I was so proud of him. And after he fell from grace, you know what happened. I still shared a lot of love for him in my heart. You know, I can't judge him. I can't throw stones because I've made some mistakes, you know, without specifying what they are. And then George Bush and 9/11 happened. And then it seemed like we went downhill from there, economy-wise, you know, from a surplus to a debt. And now we have at least $20 trillion in debt. Not a good thing. And I believe that it's because of 9/11. Because not only did they destroy the World Trade Centers, they destroyed the world economy by flying those airplanes into the building, and it's coming up now, the anniversary, back in 2001, so almost 20 years ago, 19 years ago. And now COVID has already changed things forever. Makes me wonder. I always consider the possibility of this being more than just a coincidence, you know, just happening as a chance. I wouldn't put it past some people. And I know that's not a good thing to think, especially after I'm talking positivity, but let's not be naive. There are some people out there that, no, suffice it to say, don't have our best interests in mind to ensure the longevity of the world, and generations of children to come. Case in point, all the wars we've had in the past. Millions of people dying. Have we learned our lesson? Is there truly going to be peace from now on? So let's bury the hatchet with the Russians, I say, to the politicians. And I know that Democrats are more against this. Mr. Trump has made some efforts to normalize relations with Russia, to socialize with Mr. Putin, but then people say, well, how could you socialize with Mr. Putin? How can you even have friends with him? He's a dictator. He's a murderer. He kills people. Well, that's the way they do things in Russia. You want them to be just like the United States? I've seen him. I've seen him talk. And he appears to be a decent man, in my opinion, if I'm any judge of character. But they do things differently. It's a different culture. And take North Korea. We hadn't made that many advances with our relations with North Korea in the past, but Mr. Trump kind of buried the hatchet. All that rhetoric, you remember? Kim Jong-un? Is he still alive? I hope so. I wouldn't wish anybody dead. But I know he was going through some kind of health issues. But you remember at one time he was threatening to send missiles and blow up the West Coast, anywhere in the United States. But they were doing all that, those tests, rocket tests, and they had developed a nuclear bomb. So Mr. Trump kind of said, well, let's see if we can make friends with him. And he went over there, and you saw the photo ops that they had together, and so that was good on him, you know. And although some people were saying, well, how could we do that with a dictator? We need to enforce economic sanctions. We really have to be careful with that, my friends. When somebody has the capability to send nuclear weapons our way, don't even like talking about the subject, but why would you make someone angry when they have that capability? Isn't that better to really try harder to be friends with them? I would think so. So on that side, I favor Mr. Trump rather than Mr. Biden. But you know what? It's all about the parties themselves. This election, not so much about the people, in my opinion. I'm a people person myself, but you've got the values of the Republicans against the values of the Democrats at stake here. The people really are maybe 20% of the equation. Sometimes people realize, well, you just can't have the perfect individual to represent one party or the other. You might want somebody like Ronald Reagan or maybe JFK, and dream about someone like that, but you have all these candidates that are vying for the opportunity to be president. Like the Democrats said, there was about 20 of them, and there was a lot of good people in there too, from Andrew Yang to Cory Booker to, let's see, who else? Amy Klobuchar, Kamala Harris, of course. And who was the billionaire from New York? And there was the one woman, Marianne Dickinson, or Marianne Williams. I'm trying to remember them all. I don't want to waste my time. But there was one, she is a woman. She is a representative of Hawaii, the Congress there. Gabby Tulser, that's it. I like her. Like I said, I'm a people person, and I think she is, I heard her speak. Also, Beto O'Rourke was one of the candidates. I like him. But I also like Gabby Tulser. She is so intelligent. She would make such a great president. And Bernie Sanders, too, of course. I like Bernie. I voted for what's her name, during the primary. I can see her face, but it'll come to me. She's the one that wanted Medicare for all. And I can't remember her name right now. I should remember, right? But anyway, Bernie Sanders, I thought, you know, despite him being kind of socialist-leaning, he had some good ideas like Medicare for all and free college tuition, legalizing marijuana. And I was thinking about marijuana. You know, why not legalize marijuana? Some states have, others haven't. Federally, it's still a crime, I think, to have possession of marijuana. But when you think about it, when I think about it, when you put smoke, let's just say, I know that you can take marijuana in different ways, but the most common way is to smoke it, right? Kind of like tobacco. And they're saying, well, you can put tobacco smoke in your lungs, but no, you can't put marijuana leaf smoke in your lungs. Oh, yeah, really? And you can kill yourself by drinking whiskey or tequila, but no, you can't take marijuana. It has mind-altering substances in it, and it's not good for you. Yeah, well, is drinking a bottle of whiskey good for you also? So I see that just as a backward step in evolution where we are, you know. Eventually, I believe marijuana will be legalized. Let people do what they want to do. I mean, I don't smoke it now. I don't smoke cigarettes. I gave up drinking liquor back in 1988. So there was a time when I did abuse substances. My parents were alcoholics. And I kicked the habit. So if anyone wanted to kick the habit of smoking marijuana, they could do that. But who am I to judge people for doing that? Now, someone like Mr. Trump, he is a little bit judgmental. I know that he's never tried, so he says, smoking and drinking. But usually, you know, one would take the attitude of Jesus and not being judgmental. Now, I don't know what Jesus would say. He might say, well, you know, you take a risk of hurting your health if you do that. But you have free will, and I cannot judge you. If you want to go ahead and do that, that is your decision. As you walk down that journey, your soul's journey you're on, you know that some decisions could have long-lasting repercussions, but that's up to you to make that decision. Anyway, what else? Let's not discriminate against anybody. Try to love one each other. In my last radio show, I talked about praying. Remember what I said about Lou Famoso? He had that near-death experience. Lou Famoso was a Vietnam veteran, came back from Vietnam, bought himself a brand-new Mustang, Stang. Going to a party, going down the road. His car crashed. He was thrown from the car. He had a gaping head wound. Well, he said that he had an encounter with God. Why would someone make up something like that, you know? See, you would have thought that after almost dying in a car accident, that, and you hear about it all the time, right? Heaven is for real. People have these near-death experiences. Well, he had one too. Face-to-face encounter with the creator of this planet. And that creator said to him, among other things, man will pray, P-R-E-Y, on man, until man learns to pray. P-R-A-Y for man. So there you have it from the creator himself. On behalf, spoken on behalf of him by Blake Ruby. There you go. It did not come from me. It came from him. So please, pray for your fellow man, even something as simple as, God, please bless Mr. Trump. I know that he's not perfect, but he's trying. And he represents the Republican Party, which is about 50% of America. Well, God, please bless Mr. Biden. He's a good man. I know he's had a rough life, but I like his thinking. He's a happy, friendly kind of fellow. Got a smile on his face always. He's got good ideas to help America improve. I know that he supports climate, the Paris Accord. Whereas Mr. Trump doesn't. Mr. Trump thinks it's a waste of time, you know, a waste of money. But my friends, take it from me, my opinion, for all it's worth, all the carbon monoxide we put into the atmosphere, all the oil we've taken out of the ground that's used for the movement of the plates, the tectonic plates underneath the surface of the earth. I believe I pronounced that correctly. The ozone layer that may be damaged, that I've heard the ETs out there have repaired. Hey, thank you, ETs. You're awesome. Love you. So climate change is real. If you want to get back to the way Obama had it, and I think we ought to participate in the world, shutting down fossil fuels, carbon monoxide emissions, then you'll vote Democrat. But if you're a believer in pro-life, you vote for Mr. Trump. They might say on one hand, okay, a woman should have free will to do what she wants with her body, or murdering a unborn human fetus on the other side. A woman's rights, a baby's rights, her life. I'm not going to make a decision. I'm just saying that's what the issues are. I tend to take the side of the women because I think that they're the ones that have to have the babies inside their bodies for 9 months, and big government shouldn't be telling them what they can and can't do with their bodies. I agree with that. But on the other hand, I realize that, hey, these spirits that come from heaven just like you did when you went into your body and your mother's womb and then were born 9 months later, and now you're a full-grown adult or whatever, at whatever stage of growth you are, if your mother had made a decision to abort you, you wouldn't be here. You'd be like, It's a Wonderful Life with, what's his name? I forgot his name. He speaks like, yes, Sean. Jim, forget his name. Anyway, so many difficult decisions, really. Moving on to the next subject. I saw the speeches, you know, at the conventions, Democratic convention and the Republican convention. And at the end, some of them said, God bless America. God bless you. God bless America. I listened closely to that. You know, I'm very concerned that they will end their speech in the appropriate way, making reference to the Creator, God. And in my opinion, the speech is not successful unless they say, may God bless you. And may God bless America. Mr. Trump didn't say that, and neither did Mr. Pence. So in my opinion, that was not a good conclusion to their speech. They might have said beautiful words, but unless you can say may, and why? Because you shouldn't make demands of God. When you say God bless, you're saying, God, you have to bless America. God bless America. Now, being someone that speaks foreign languages, I know how the grammar works. When you say may, you're asking God to bless America or whomever. You don't make demands of God. God is above us. You're not above God. You don't say, God, you have to bless America. God, you have to bless that person. All you have to say, unless you're speaking directly to God himself, himself or self, then you have to say, may. That is like a prayer in and of itself. May God bless America. May. Don't make demands on God. And when you say your prayers, please say, please. I've seen it, the chaplains, they are notorious for not, they don't even use the word please in their prayers. They make demands of God. They think that they're telling God what God has to do. No, I understand that you are God's in the making, but you are not the creator of your soul and spirit. Sorry to burst your bubble, someone else is. Please, use please in your prayers. If you ask someone to pass the mashed potatoes around the dinner table, are you going to say, give me the mashed potatoes? No. Be wise. Please. Be intelligent. More intelligent. Yes, there are some young souls out there. And then you have the intermediate souls, and then you have the advanced souls. Which one are you, my friends? Do you have just a few lives underneath your belt? Because when you die, like we all will one day, and transition to that spirit realm, the spirit lands, heaven, the sun, that world of fire where the spirit can live, and hell too, the spirit can live in hell. Yeah. On that day, then, after enjoying the activities and the good times of heaven, all the angels, the chariots, all the people you'll meet from different cultures, all the famous people that have lived on this planet from the beginning, unless they've reincarnated, all the praise to the Supreme Creator, and the Mother and Father God for the miracles of creation, for all that they've done, for the beauty of heaven, the trees, the fields, the mountains, the lakes, the oceans, the rivers, for the cleanliness, the purity of heaven, for the love and the joy and no pain or suffering, for the different activities to include talks by people, musical concerts. The music is everywhere. The praising, the rejoicing, the mansions that await us, the different buildings, the beautiful architecture, the golden streets, and silver too, in some places, the precious jewels, you better believe it, and pearl everywhere. The pearly gates are actually made of pearl. Angels of all kinds. The patriarchs in the Bible, the disciples, unless some of them have reincarnated, which you will ultimately do also. And they've got, like, computers you wouldn't even believe there in heaven that can, heavenly computers, yes, it's true, that can check out the possibilities to reincarnate anywhere in the universe, on other planets, in other galaxies, something that would match up to your needs. Just what you need for your evolution. Maybe a planet of a higher category than this one, which is the lowest, actually. A very beautiful world. Ah, now it's time for me to talk about something which I enjoy doing. I've done before, and I'll do it over and over again, because I believe it's important for you to know that there is life out there in the universe, my friends. And I can prove it to you with logic and rationale. There might be somebody listening out there who's an atheist or an agnostic. Well, let me say this, and I'll try to sum it up briefly. I can prove to you in 1 minute that there is life out there. And it goes like this. Here on Earth, over a million types of insects, over 30,000 types of fish, over 10,000 types of birds and reptiles, over 9,000 types of amphibians, over 5,000 types of mammals, over 15,000 types of flowers, hundreds of thousands of types of trees, maybe not that many. All the fruits and vegetables, if that happened by accident here on Earth, it can happen by accident elsewhere in the universe, anywhere. But if there is a creator who is powerful and knowledgeable enough to create this life on earth, then logically that creator would have the ability, the power, and the knowledge to create either the same life or a different life that we couldn't even imagine elsewhere, anywhere, anywhere, anywhere in the universe. There, 1 minute. I've proven to you there is life out there. So pass it on, please. We don't need NASA to discover life on Europa or anywhere. It's going to be a while before we get out of our solar system, you know, and explore some of the other solar systems. And we could have made contact with the Verdans, the extraterrestrials. Read the book, The Contact Has Begun, written by Phil Kraff, K-R-A-P-F. Kraff. These are extraterrestrial beings that travel around the universe as they've been doing for the last 290 million years. With their spaceship, they know how to warp time-space and in a very quick way, too. I mean, so many times per second, you know, firing those anti-gravity beams and warping time-space so many times per second, they can surf time-space, the blackness of space, which is like dark energy and dark matter, which is warpable. And suffice it to say, then, they can travel up to the speed of light, but they can also go interdimensional. Because, as I mentioned, space out there, not time-space, but let's just say space, is made of dark energy and dark matter, which can. It's a fabric, like Einstein said in his general relativity theory. And when you open that up, then you can find wormholes in different places to take you to other areas of the universe. So, yes, there is life out there. The Verdans, they're out there. They wanted to make contact with us. But then 9/11 happened. That just changed everything because they thought that we were, oh, come on, you got to give us another chance. They might be listening to my radio show, I hope. And who am I? You know, they know all about me, no doubt. They might listen to my radio shows. They might be listening right now. And they know that, well, I'm a good man, but I might be an advanced soul, but not as advanced as them, for sure. These beings, they can live to 20,000 years old. And that's what they do. They travel around the universe. And they come up to these uncharted solar systems. Imagine that, traveling around the universe for 290 million years. And they're still finding uncharted solar systems throughout the universe because, hey, hello, the universe is expanding as we talk. The infinite edges of outer space are expanding. New solar systems are being formed. New stars are being born. It's wonderful to think that in accordance with the Supreme Creator's plan. And so the Verdans, they were going to make contact with us. They put all the plans in place. Read the book. They'll tell you all about it. But then 9/11 happened, and we were already borderline as a very hostile species because they'd seen all the wars we've had in the past. Oh, yes, we've had a lot of wars in the past, my friends. We've had some doozies. Oh, a lot of killing. A lot of killing has gone on in our past. But we made some good progress over the years, and we are evolving and seeing that, hey, maybe there's a faint little sliver of light hope in the future for peace, my friends. Maybe that would be so good we could write that on our eternal soul resume. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Hey, we helped the earth by helping it to become a peaceful place where people can live in harmony, resolve their differences diplomatically, not have to kill each other, shoot each other, stab each other, punch each other, do whatever to each other. Let our children grow up in peace, my friend, and their children too. We got so much to offer each other, so much love. And it begins with praying. Pray. Remember what God said straight from God's mouth. Man will pray, P-R-E-Y, on man until man learns to pray, P-R-A-Y, for man. It can't be much straighter than that. And all you got to do is have the courage. Pray, open your mouth and say the word, please. Sorry, I didn't mean to yell at you. like, God, please bless Mr. Trump. God, please bless Mr. Biden. God, please bless Ms. Harris. God, please bless Mr. Pence. Please bless all the congressmen, all the senators. God, please bless all the people. Or you could also say, God, please bless us, everyone, like Tiny Tim and Christmas Carol. So, if you believe in prayer, if you believe in the creator of this planet, this beautiful planet, Mother and Father God, when they merged their spirits and created this by using the words of the cosmic forces to initiate the cosmic forces, those words, like it says in the Bible, in the beginning was a word. Well, guess what? Words do have that power. They've got the power to create or to destroy. It's up to you, whatever you choose. Do you choose to create or destroy, my friends? Your words have power because you're a co-creator God in the making, even if you don't know it. I'm telling you, you are. You can't change that. Uh-huh. So, speak your words wisely. It behooves us all to speak our words wisely because we will be held accountable on Judgment Day. Take it from me, I guarantee it. Ladies and gentlemen, you will have a life review at the end of your life, whenever that may be. Tomorrow or 50 years down the road, you will be held accountable for all your actions, and you'll get to see how others felt around you, the words that you spoke to them, how they felt. You'll get to go inside their bodies and see how they felt. You'll have a chance to go inside your old body and see how you felt. Plus, you'll be looking at this from a distance also. It's a three-way interaction, my friend. It will be part of your life review. I guarantee it will happen to you. So, it behooves us now to do what we can to prepare for that eventuality by praying for each other. Prayer will save the world from destruction. Prayer will help to develop us spiritually. It will help to evolve our souls, which is the brain of the spirit. You have a brain in your physical body. Well, the soul is the brain of the spirit. I'll bet you didn't know that, except you listened to my previous shows. I told you about that. In fact, my show once upon a time, used to be called The Gray Brain and the Golden Soul. Can you dig it? Okay, I've got a little bit of time left, my friends. It has flown. And I have talked about lots of different things. If I had another hour, I thought there... I just like to say this. With the politics going on, everything that's going on television, my friends, there's something more important I'd like to tell you. And I did mention a little bit about it previously. The life out there in the universe is more important than the politics we got going on down here. The life out there in the universe is more important than these petty conflicts we have on a day-by-day, daily basis, okay? Take it from me, please. You know I love you. I'm praying that God, Mother and Father God, and Supreme Creator will bless you in any way you need it. In fact, I pray for the Supreme Creator to bless our planet, help us in any way we need it, help us resolve our problems, bless us, everyone. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.